Okay. All right. Good morning. My name is Tamar Carroll, and I'm a professor of history at RIT. And I am here with RIT student Jackson Balmer Burns. And we are here to interview Michelle Zatkowski. Did I get that pronunciation
right? Yeah, close enough. Zatkowski. Just don't say
that. Zatkowski. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And today is April 16th, 2025, and we are at Michelle's house in Greece, and we're going to be talking with her about her work at Kodak and her involvement in the Lambda Network at Kodak. Michelle, is it okay with you if we record this conversation?
Yes.
Okay, super. Thank you so much. And thanks for being willing to talk with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. And we're going to look at Michelle's PowerPoint from when you attended the Out and Equal 2004 Workplace Summit in Tempe, Arizona.
Okay.
So you attended this as a Lambda member or as a Kodak photographer or both?
Both. I was working in the developmental studio at the time, so they were very supportive to help me, financially paid for everything.
Cool. What was the developmental studio?
It's a place where they test film and paper. It was this full-blown studio with models and props and shopping for props and going on location, sometimes out of Rochester.
Oh, cool.
It was a great job.
Yeah. All right. And so what was it like to attend the Workplace Summit?
Oh, it was awesome because at that time, other companies, smaller companies, even larger ones, were looking to us because we kind of paved the way for the benefits in diversity in the workplace. So a lot of people would come up to us and attend. We presented workshops, and then I went to a lot of workshops myself.
Cool. Who did you go with?
The Lambda group. Different people every year, I think, but there was a core group of us. I went for 6 years in a row, starting in 2004 in Tempe, and then my last one was 2009 in Orlando.
Okay. So this was your first one?
Yes.
Awesome. Do you want to show us the slides?
Sure. Okay. You're welcome to use this if you want.
Yeah, I'd love to take a copy of it.
Mm-hmm. Let me know when you're ready.
Okay. So Out and Equal's annual workplace summit event is where LGBT employees, straight allies, and HR and diversity professionals go to share ideas and build bridges to LGBT workplace equality. And there's a list of some corporate attendees, which is very impressive.
Very big names
there. Yeah. Okay, and Kodak was the official conference imaging sponsor. So were you involved in taking the candid images or the marketing images?
Yeah, I was actually the photographer, the coordinator of photography. We had other people that were, because I couldn't be everywhere. I took all the speakers, candid images of all the events in the workshops.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then Lambda's, it was a combination, Kodak's participation and Lambda's participation.
So there were 16 people from Lambda that went and presented at six different workshops.
Yes.
And you were seen as a resource for best practices.
Correct.
Yeah.
So my role at the conference, I was the team coordinator for photography. I made sure we had all the correct equipment, and there was somebody, technicians there that came with us from different departments, not necessarily Lambda, to help set up the portrait studio and be there for any technical difficulties.
Yeah.
We had roving photographers, that I would assign to where to go, and so we covered everything. Met with I think her name's Elise from Out and Equal.
Okay.
And ahead of time, coordinate what and see what their needs were. I also photographed for them as well, because they pretty much got a lot of copies of a lot of the stuff that, except our silly little pictures of our group. So documented all the events for Out and Equal and for the Lambda Network. And the most fun was the formal portrait, because we had a formal dinner night, and everybody would dress to the nines, and then they'd come and get their portraits.
Was that at like a photo booth?
Yeah, kind of. Set up a backdrop. You'll see some samples of that. Okay, where am I? Here's the keynote speakers just at the one in Tempe, Billie Jean King. She was awesome. And some pictures of these other people. Motorola, Estee Lauder, an author from Grand Connections.
Cool.
Here's some of the sample workshop titles that they had. The impact of same-sex marriage on HR and employee benefits. These are, you know, smaller companies maybe that are looking for guidance on how to set up their benefits. Implementing global workforce policies, gender in the workplace, focus on transition. I was educated myself. I knew nothing about transgender. And everybody were staying at a hotel near the conference, and there was no more room. So I got to ride 7 miles a day with Denise. I can't remember her name. She was in transition. She worked for Kodak in Denver, I believe, someplace out there. And she educated me on transitioning and transgender. It was eye-opening for me.
Yeah.
Here's some of the workshops I attended. Awakening Management with Humor. Yeah, that's kind of need that one. Anti-LGBT violence and harassment in the workplace. I actually experienced that myself. Not violence, but, you know, comments from people and never wanted to speak up or anything.
Yeah.
I want my gay TV. That was a workshop. Gender identity and expression in the workplace. Those are just samples. Then they had the Audi Awards. Lambda won LGBT Employee Resource Group of the Year. We won that quite often, I think. And there's a picture of our Lambda people with a couple of our management higher up management. And they came too every year. That was very, very good. Bob Berman was one too. I got pictures of him. We went to ball games. Every city we went to a ball game.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we'd have a night out. Laura Brooks won Champion of Workplace Equality. I don't know if you interviewed her.
No.
Kodak was a finalist in Significant Achievement for Transgender Guidelines.
Yeah. Was Laura Brooks a Kodak manager or?
I don't remember.
Okay.
She was an ally.
Okay.
Remember her and her husband. Okay, Kodak sponsorship at Out and Equal. I'm not going to read all this, but provides outreach opportunities to potential future employees and customers. And here's the one I've been at a champion for a long time, and it was like right on the verge of. Should we do it or not? Provides a unique opportunity to show our products and reach a virtually untapped market. Some of these workshops were telling how much, I don't know the word, spending power that gays have. Because usually no kids, double income, no kids, dinks.
Right.
So, and then I don't remember when we started advertising with same-sex couples in advertising. I don't think they did much of it, but I can't say on that. Here's just some of the workshops. These are people I don't know. The speakers. This was my job to be right by on the stage and get all these pictures of each of the speakers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had other people that were taking the candids around in the workshops. Then they had entertainment. They had great entertainment. Oh, she was funny. There was a comedian there. Forgot her name. But then they had a made of dance dancers. We're in Arizona, so I can't remember. Hopi, maybe? I don't know. But she was hysterical. Gay comedian. Here's the awards. There's Laura Brooks right there. And that's us getting our Audi award. And here's some of the candidates. There's me and Billie Jean.
Oh, that's awesome.
Love that. And then I got one with her autograph on it. There she is with... There's Emmy, Nancy, Margie. Okay. More people. So this is give you an idea of, you know, what part of our role was for photographing it, at least. That's it.
So, Michelle, before we started taping, you were saying that when you made this presentation, you were nervous because it was your first time talking about this at work.
Right.
Can you take us back to that day? And
in a flash, because I'll never forget it. I was not out at work. And now I know that everybody already knew, but when I did finally come out, my boys, I call them, they said, I kept saying, I got to talk to you about something. I got to talk to you about something. And finally I told them, they go, oh, is that all? We thought you had cancer or something. So, you know, it was kind of forbidden back then in the, let's see, what was my first, it was 2004. I never came out till right before I left Kodak.
And what year was that?
That was 2010, at the end of 2010.
Okay.
I got laid off. I got laid off three times, but I found a job every single time, including this one. But it was a cut and pay, going backwards, putting on a headset. I'm like, I'm an engineer. I do not want to be in a call center. I said, you make somebody else's day and call them.
Yeah.
It was a hard decision. But I did it. And I got one of the last packages that they gave. So I got, you know, I did pretty good there. But I'm a third generation Kodaker, and I was there 35 years.
Wow.
It was three days before the end of the year. So I think I was more mad I didn't get my 6th week vacation. But I would have been 100% eligible to retire in 3 more days.
Oh, my gosh.
The year in which you're 55.
Yeah.
And my birthday's in August, but, so that part I was upset, but you know, I survived so many of them. I think 3 times I actually got laid off, but every year it was like going to this room and it was horrible.
Yeah.
But I wasn't bitter. I was just kind of lost. I was 54. All my friends were still working. My wife lived in Nova Scotia, so we concentrated on the business. I tried to find a job, but honestly, I think the age thing came into...
Yeah, sure.
So I survived. I mean, I went 9 years until I could get my Social Security, so it was rough. But sea glass is much more fun than stressing about, you know, going to work and if you're going to get laid off every day. Also, I was going to start portrait photography... Weddings. I did weddings always on the side. I shot hundreds of weddings. Not hundreds, but a lot. And while I was working still at Kodak. And then I met Gladys in this sea glass business.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is so much. I still shoot weddings. I do my nieces and nephews. They're all getting married now. I just went to one last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Those are freebies, non-paying jobs, but that's their wedding present. But anyway, I love photography. I sold all my studio equipment once I got into this business. You should have been around, Jackson. Had I known you. Anyway, they gave me a wonderful education and career after I worked in in the studio. I got a job in themed entertainment. That's like the dream job. Go down to Disney and ride the roller coasters and fix the cameras and set up the studios with Mickey Mouse and all the theme parks all over the country. And every year we would install, open them up in the spring and then shut them down and cover all their equipment and stuff. So I traveled a lot and I loved that job. Then they said, you're having too much fun, so you got to go. They kind of went a little bankrupt in that department because they were, I think, abusing the flying first class, whatever, but I didn't get involved in that. I just knew I had to find another job. Then I went to kiosks and was a software tester. I'm like, I have no idea how to test software, but it was my image quality background they wanted. And I loved that job too. And we used that technology at Out and Equal with the portrait studio.
Yeah.
And we printed out, I think I showed you or gave you, oh, here, there, some folders to look at. This is our group's. Some of it was setting up the lighting and testing it.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Yeah. So that, and then we put the logos on it. This is all right. I forgot what you called it. The technology. I got to shoot the Emmy Awards on the red carpet. That was cool.
That sounds very cool. So do you remember who these people are?
Oh, boy. Okay. I don't know last names. That's Marge. That's Nancy. That's Linda / Tom. And that's Lori. And that's me. I know familiar, but I cannot remember names. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
These I want to keep, though. That's me and Lori.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you. I like this one. This is my lovely wife, Gladys.
Yeah.
She came, that was, I believe, Orlando. So we had a nice backdrop in here. You can see it better, the backdrop. There's a couple of these in my... Me and Billie Jean.
Billie Jean King.
And that was her speaking. Yeah. Her speech was awesome. She went through a lot in women's tennis. She paved her and Martina paved the way.
Yeah.
For gay women in tennis anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, just women in general.
Women in
remember
women
the
in professional
the match
sports.
She had with I cannot remember. Who was it?
Yeah, the guy.
The guy.
Who...
Oh, that's terrible. I can't remember. I know it by heart.
She beat him.
She beat him. Oh, yeah, he was real cocky.
Yeah.
All right, I can just throw those in there. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have a lot of memories of Kodak in general for 35 years.
Yeah. Michelle, maybe we can go, would be okay with you if we go back and just start at the beginning, like, you know, growing up in Rochester. You said that you're the third generation to work at Kodak. So can you tell us a little bit about your family and your childhood?
Oh, sure. Okay. I was born and raised here. And for the most part, Kodak, I'll get to that in a minute, but they sent me to New York. I lived in New York City for a year and a half with Kodak. But my grandfather retired from Kodak. My dad worked for a while, but it wasn't for him. He's an entrepreneur, business owner. He opened up service stations and then ultimately barbershop. He was a barber when he died, and my mom still runs the shop.
Oh, wow.
He's a legend in Irondequoit.
What shop is that?
Ted's Cooper Road Barbershop on Cooper Road, right across from high school.
Yeah.
Are you from Irondequoit?
Yeah. I used to go there a bunch.
You did? You remember Ted? There he is, over there. See if you see him, if you remember him. Yeah, I miss him. He passed in 2013.
Oh, I think I started going a bit later.
Okay. One of his barbers bought the business, but mom still owns the building, which she's trying to sell, but she's had a couple strokes, so it's every time she goes to sell it, something happens. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's getting there. And my sister, Denise, she was there longer than me, 40-something years.
Wow.
She's older. She eventually joined me in New York. She worked in litigation, as did I. And it was at the time, and I started Kodak in 1976, before y'all were born. And shortly after that, I went to New York, and they were having laws. We were being sued by Berkey, GAF, and GE about the flashes on the cameras, the cubes. And that's the only part we lost, but we won the other lawsuits. But I was just in charge at the time was microfiche, copying documents, yeah. Putting them on microfiche, making copies for the attorneys to go. It was quite the experience. I loved living there, and I love New York. So that was early on, and then when I came back, they kind of didn't need me because the lawsuits were over, so I ended up in Building 65, which has been imploded. We used to have photo labs where people would mail in their film.
Yeah.
In little mailers. I don't know if you ever
yes.
knew that. And so I would... That's where I got my image quality background, judging prints for color and sharpness and density and all that. So I had a very good background in that. And then they closed that building, and I got laid off, and I ended up in Ektachrome testing film and little strip lines. And then from there, I went to the studio at the same time doing my education at RIT. And then after that, I went to Themed Entertainment. And then after that, I ended up in Kiosk, and that was my last job.
Okay. And would you say, when did your passion for photography develop?
Oh, before even I worked at Kodak. My dad, he was a photo nut. Unfortunately, he put all his pictures on slides. But the photo CD was one of the first technologies to be able to scan slides in and put them on disc CDs. So I was testing, and I got every slide that my dad ever took, which were tons of trays, and I put them all on there and still have them. And that was, you know, very good. It would have cost me a fortune. So he kind of introduced me to photography way back before I even started at Kodak, because he always had a camera. He's always taking pictures of us, which is great. And then when I got in Kodak, I mean, you can't work at Kodak 35 years and not like photography. So I kept trying to go to school, and I finally met somebody in the Ektachrome group, my supervisor. He goes, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" I said, "Well, I've been trying to go to school for photography," and he says, "And I keep getting turned down." And he said, "Have you tried since you've been here?" I said, "No, I gave up." So he encouraged me, and I put it in, and he helped me get approved, and I went to RIT. They paid for my education. I loved RIT. They loved me because I was like the oldest person, and I'd bring all the supplies from Kodak, paper, chemicals, whatever. Ooh, the lady's coming. So it was fun, and it felt kind of like I was 35 years old, I think. Yeah, when I find 95, we won't go there, but it was quite the experience, and it immediately paid off. Was the day I got my degree, I got a $75 a week raise.
Cool.
Which was pretty awesome back then.
Yeah.
And then got promoted in the studio to photographer. I was assistant for a long, long time. And I learned a lot there too, from this one photographer, Dave Goldstein. He was awesome. And then I did it on my own. Until I had to leave there. I got laid off like so many places.
Yeah, so you were at Kodak during the time when it was downsizing
dramatically. Yes, always downsizing. Yeah. So yeah, got laid off 3 times. Found a job all 3 times within the time. It used to be 60 days, then it was 30 days, and then it was like tomorrow.
So you said that you didn't come out till shortly before leaving Kodak.
Yes.
But were you aware that... Like, did you self-identify as a lesbian?
Oh, yeah. In my 20s. Well, I was still at Kodak. I mean, I started Kodak right out of high school.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess I was not even out to my family. My sister kind of outed me while I was in Florida to my parents, which was great because I didn't have to tell them. And my dad, he just kept his, "Are you sure, honey? Are you sure?" Yeah. But he walked me down the aisle. Right before he passed, we moved the wedding up because he wasn't well, and not well that day either. But he got to walk me down the aisle, and that was a day I'll never forget.
Aww.
So, yeah, and my mom is
supportive.
Yeah, my mom is so cool. She's like my bestie right now. She's 91, and she's had a couple of strokes right after COVID. They think that was part of it. Now she's got AFib and aphasia, which affects your speech.
Yeah.
Luckily, it wasn't the brain bleed kind. There's two kinds of strokes. but she gets her words all mixed up or can't think of a word. Her numbers are all backwards. And so I have to do all her bills because she can't do them right. But she's getting a little better. We do it every Thursday. We go to Nazareth. They have a speech class the students put on. It's free. She's been going there for a year and a half. I think she's plateaued on where she's going to be, but they give her coping methods.
Yeah.
And also she does cooking class there. It's cool. Like her social.
So. Yeah, that's great.
So students are great. And they're awesome.
So, Michelle, when your sister outed you to your parents, do you remember about what year that was?
I do not.
But it was before you came out at work.
Oh, long before.
Long before.
Long before, yeah.
And were you out to anybody else? Or
My straight friends. I was a raging alcoholic and drug addict and because I didn't want to be gay. And for years... I was with a lot of men trying to be straight. That didn't work. And I eventually, not until like in my 30s, went to AA and got sober. No, not 30s. Later than that, or earlier than that, because I just had 35 years sobriety in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I did a lot of cocaine and stuff, so, kind of ashamed about that, but... It wasn't the time to be gay, and I didn't want to be, and, I was very, very closeted at the time.
Yeah. That sounds hard. So that was like the 1980s, maybe?
Yeah, I would say the 1980s, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a lot of homophobia with the AIDS pandemic.
Right,
and...
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
So it was a rough time.
So, when did you first hear about Lambda?
I don't remember when I first heard. When did Lambda start? I wasn't involved.
Around 1994.
94, okay. No, I wasn't involved then. I was afraid to join because of the stigma about it. So I didn't, and then I thought, oh, this is a good in for me. I could just pretend I'm doing the photography.
Yeah.
And then I just started having fun. I loved it. And I still wasn't out. They published a list of members.
Yeah.
And they asked me if I wanted to be on it, and I said no. I didn't, I don't know what, now thinking back, I'm out to everybody. I go every place I go, I say my wife this, my wife that, which at first to me was very weird.
Yeah.
Our minister wanted to say, I now pronounce you wife and wife. And I'm like, no, there's like older people here. And I said partners for life. That's really nice. We changed it to.
That's beautiful.
that was only, 13 years ago? 2012. Yeah, 13 years we got married. I can't believe how fast. But she lives in Canada. She used to live in Nova Scotia, but recently moved to Niagara Falls, Canada. We have to live separately because of our health care and Social Security.
Yeah.
They call it old age pension in Canada. I would ask to change that name. But so, and now it's like an hour and a half drive instead of a three-day drive.
Yeah.
But I miss Nova Scotia terribly. We have a sea glass business. Did you get any of these, Jackson?
I did.
And we met on eBay, actually. And I used to buy sea glass from her. I remember out in Equal in Washington, driving to Washington because we were close, and I was in the car with Nancy, I think Merge, and they were cracking up because I'm talking to Glasses when we first met, and I'm talking to her in the car on the way on my big cell phone, and she, and they're like, "Oh, Nancy, I remember. Oh, you give me sea glass, I give you green card." Anyway, that's what I remember about Washington. Out in Eagle,
teasing you. Yeah,
it was fun. Anyway,
so Michelle, was your family Catholic when you were growing up?
Yes, I call myself a recovering Catholic. We tried to get married in the Catholic Church. I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I kind of left the Catholic Church. My mom still goes every week, and I just unfortunately had a death in the family. So Monday I went to this. Thank you. My favorite aunt, my mom's first cousin. We called her aunt, but she wasn't our aunt, but she was. And it was the Catholic Mass, and I remembered all the stuff.
Yeah,
you know, all the things that responses. They changed a few, and I kind of, you know, I don't regret it because they don't accept me.
Yeah,
but I did find a church in Canandaigua to marry us because I have a place out in Canandaigua in the campgrounds. Been there like 35 years, so that is a special place. And our minister was awesome. We had a sea glass wedding. Brought some of my favorite pieces. I'll show you over there, of sea glass from Nova Scotia, and took some water out of Canandaigua Lake. And as we were making our vows, we would put a piece of sea glass in the water. It was just beautiful. I was beaming the whole time.
Aww.
It was the happiest day of my life. And I'm really crazy about my wife. She's
awesome.
Makes me a better person. She's such a good person. So. 18 years, we're doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But up to that point, I didn't even want to be alone with myself. And I got a lot of therapy, and I got sober. And I was okay. I was at a place, I was 54 when I met her. And I was at a place where I'm okay to be, I'm not going to settle. Just be with somebody to be with somebody. I used to jump from one to the other. I'd have them lined up to wait until I broke up with that one. It was... Not good. But then I got okay with myself, and I was fine. And then we just met on eBay. We communicated for 2 years online, not even romantically. We didn't even have a picture of each other. It was the weirdest thing. And we were friends first.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that's how you do this.
Yeah.
For 2 years. So then we finally met in Toronto. And then she said when she saw me, it was like, fireworks and all that, and I didn't get that. I was attracted to her spirituality and her kindness and everything, but it took me a while to realize what those feelings were because I never had them in the right order before.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I'm getting off track.
Oh, that's okay. So I'm just wondering, like, so you started at Kodak in the mid-70s, and
yeah.
in the 80s you're having like a turbulent time in your personal life.
Yes.
Because you were trying to be straight and it didn't feel right. What was that atmosphere like at Kodak and in Rochester at that time? I know you said when we were looking at the slides, you said you had experienced some harassment or people saying negative things about gay people. Do you recall anything?
I can think of one incident. Somebody wrote... In the elevator, they wrote something in the elevator. Our boss had a fit. I don't know who did it or which elevator there was. In Kodak, it must have been the freight elevator where we would bring our equipment up and down.
Yeah.
It said fag or something on it. Can't remember. That was one thing. And then outside of Kodak, I remember walking with some of my gay friends, down in Charlotte Beach on the boardwalk, and we walked by and... some guy yelled out, "Dykes," and I turned around and went, "Dick." You can cut that out. Anyway, just stuff like that. I couldn't walk down the street and hold my girlfriend's hand.
Yeah.
And I still, my wife is uncomfortable with that. She's older than me, and she's reserved, and she's Canadian. But They had gay marriage like long before we did, but
yeah.
I wanted to get married here because my family, she didn't have any family left in Nova Scotia, so it was a beautiful wedding. And just kind of stuff like that. I wouldn't say like out and out harassment to me personally.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't comfortable being out.
Yeah.
Or having my name on the list of members.
There's just Lambeau. A lot of stigma still.
Right. Yeah, it was tough. And recently I've been going to the Pride game at Rochester Red Wings every year.
Yeah.
And I just love the youth that they're with their families and their T-shirts on. And I thank them. And they go, no, thank you for paving the way. Yeah. I never thought of it like that. Like, I didn't think of myself as a champion, but I guess in ways I was, but not as much as some of our members would, you know, go out and speak and everything. That's why I'm going Saturday to the protest, because we have to do something. And yeah. If I were still at Kodak and involved in Lambda, I would get more involved. You know, I don't know how. Let's see, I was not out, and I think maybe during this. Maybe during this I was out. I can't remember when I came out. I didn't come out like make an announcement, but just to my core friends. They're all guys. They're all technicians. And I was the only woman on thing with the machines. And so I'd call them a lot because I started as no knowledge of software testing. And one time, I think it was right when I first started in theme, they sent me down to Disney to cover for two guys who were on vacation. So I had... Universal Studios and Disney parks. And I had no clue what I was doing. I'd call, Dan, what? People are waiting for their pictures and the printers are down. But they called it baptism by fire. They waited 4 hours to get on the ride. And now they're waiting for their picture. It was very stressful. But eventually I learned, and I loved being there. And then I got to shoot the Emmy Awards on the red carpet. That was cool. I met a lot of stars, but that was when one of my bosses invented the digital camera. It's on display in Building 28. I don't know if you've seen that display of Kodak's timeline history.
Yeah, I have.
You have.
Yeah.
It's a big box like this. It was like a 2-minute exposure.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to bring it up, but they didn't want to do it because film was our cash cow.
Right.
And so all the sensors and your phones and your cameras, that's our technology.
Yeah.
Sadly, they sold the patents for pennies, but I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, the technology. It was the on the red carpet. It was we also merged with, or partnered with Nike to make the first professional digital cameras. However, they did not have the thing on the back where you can view your picture. I was a wreck. And here comes, like, Tom Hanks down the thing, and I'm like, everybody, I was not starstruck. I was more worried about my exposures.
Sure.
So I had a runner who'd run back and forth to the computer, and he goes, okay, come on, stop down a half a stop or whatever. And we were big sponsors. Then it was the Kodak Theater.
Yeah.
And so I got a spot. I'm telling you, you had a little square, like, as big as this computer, maybe, to stand in, and I got right in the front, and everybody else was, like, tiered back. And the banners, it was the 50th Emmy Awards. The sun was shooting right at us, and I was in the spot where the banner blocked it. I didn't have to shoot into the sun. So, and then we had a photographer in the balcony taking pictures of the stars getting their award. And then by the time they got off the stage, we had a picture in a folder like this, and we handed it to them. And I was taking those pictures of them getting it. And so there's a picture on USA Today and Billy Crystal going, how'd you do that? Look at this. How'd you do it? It was amazing technology. Very exciting. And I fell into that by accident because it was themed entertainment. A photographer in California got sick. And so his supervisor happened to be in Rochester for a meeting. And he came in my office and he saw all my pictures. He says, oh, you're a photographer? I said, yeah, I just graduated from RIT. And he said, what are you doing Saturday? It was like less than a week. And I was, of course, I said yes.
Yeah.
So I went out and Friday night, I had one practice and one educational tutorial in an hour. And then Saturday we did another dry run, or whenever the Emmys were, I think it was Sunday. And then they just, another baptism by fire. But I loved every minute, pretty much every minute of my career at Kodak. And so I did not, I wasn't bitter when they laid me off. I knew I was a good employee because I survived 20 times going into the office. So that was it. Yeah. I just had to, I was depressed for a whole year. I'm like, what do I do? I couldn't even go by the building. I go, like, I've been going to that building for 18 years. Then they blew it up. I got pictures of that. That was cool. And kind of bittersweet. I'm sitting across the street with my camera on the tripod, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, oh, bad.
Yeah.
So I got some
really, really poignant good, to watch.
Really good, good memories and a lot of, back in the early days, you asked about what it was like when I started. Boy, the Building 28, which is now pretty well vacant, Camera Club, definitely was in there. I'd go in there and make pictures of all my sports stuff. I was just, did some sports for Kodak, too. Shot a Bills game. I was in charge of the LPGA and the Hillside Skins Challenge photography for like 10 years. So a lot of Kodak-sponsored stuff that helped me get in the door. I got a pass to be on the field for the Bills game, so that was cool. And a hockey game, which I didn't know, you know, I was testing film. You don't ever put your face up to the camera in a hockey game. One of the players, I'm in the penalty box, he grabs me by my neck and he pulls me back because they check right in front of you. Anyway, you got to learn how to do that. But I had a great career. It was really pretty awesome. But back in the day, my grandfather, who also worked, he used to take us to Building 28. They had roller skating, bowling. We used to go to Seabreeze every year, and they had tickets where you get hot dogs and free rides. And they had a clam bake every year, which I loved. It was out at on Scottsville Road. I forgot the name of it. Logan's. And just some really good stuff back then, and they just had to cut everything.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of rather really good memories, even as a kid, before I worked at Kodak, right, with my grandfather taking us to all those places. So, times they are a-changing.
So, when you started photographing the Lambda events, was that at the invitation of Lambda, or do you remember?
No, I don't actually remember. Maybe I remember I said it was like my in.
Yeah.
I could just be the photographer and not a member, because I wouldn't go on that list.
Right.
I finally did. I don't actually remember if they asked me or if I asked them.
Okay. But it seems like both Lambda and Out and Equal had a sense that photography mattered.
Sure.
In terms of documenting what they were doing. And so I wonder if you could just say a little bit about that.
Well, it started, I think, with the educational event, and I didn't have anything to do with putting them on, but I was photographing them. And it was other networks, too. Can you remember the names?
North Star Network, yep, and the Women's Equality Network.
And one for Asians, I can't remember that one.
I'm not sure.
I did North Star events, I remember that. They had a formal, and I did photograph one or two of those. But I did the Lambda one, I think, for a couple of years. The one that sticks out in my mind is the Coda Wood Squares. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, but I'd love to hear your memories.
Okay. I don't know who made that set, but it was pretty cool. I don't know how they did it, and I wouldn't want to be on the top level, but they just like Hollywood Squares, they had 9 people, and then they would ask them questions, and you know, relating to either benefits or anything about being gay or the network itself. And that was pretty cool. That's the one that stood out to me. But it was important to educate. And I remember being in a workshop and saying, and I know that some of the top vice presidents and people were there, or, and I remember saying, I can't walk down the street holding my girlfriend's hand, and they're like, wow, you know, that must be hard. And then the other thing was, I go into work and I change my pronouns. What did you do on the weekend? Well, I would say he instead of she, and then I'd have to think about changing it. And then I said that in the workshop, and they're like, wow, never thought of that either. You can go in and talk about your weekend and your kids and your wife and your whatever you did over the weekend. And I either didn't say anything,
right,
or I would try and change the pronoun. It was difficult. Yeah. Now I do regret that I was so closeted, because now I'm just out, and it's so freeing. But it is a different generation, two generations from when I was working there. So.
Yeah, it's a journey.
For sure.
So you were saying that the educational, that the awareness of the importance of documenting uh-huh. with photography came from the educational events?
Yeah, I think so. I did want to be a part, but not associated per se, and that sounds bad, but it was just my paranoia.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound bad. But you felt like they were important to document.
Oh, yeah, and it was fun. Like, we had the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
The one in Toronto, I showed you that book. We were handing out rolls of film and single-use cameras, and people were just loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they, and most parades, they throw out candy. We're giving candy, right. Film and cameras away.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and Kodak was a big part of that sponsorship.
Yeah.
They actually helped me. I went down to New Orleans after Katrina and helped rebuild. I was with a Methodist church organization, and we helped rebuild some of the houses, and you know, that were flooded. They were very poor down in the bayou, and Cody, I said, I want to do something for the kids, because they're all displaced. They're not going to school.
Yeah,
living in shelters, and so I said, I'm going to have a photography class. And so I got, through my department, I got all the single-use cameras, and they paid for the developing.
Cool.
And I had, and the kids were so into it. I could someday show you some of their pictures. They were really, really good. And they listened. And then the adults found out they were having so much fun. They were like, can we come too? So I gave them cameras. I said, okay, but you can't join the contest for the kids. And I made sure everybody got a prize.
Aww.
And, you know, Kodak paid for all the, I got prizes donated, and I think money for the top prize, and they were very supportive, so, in that regard. I just saw, you know, have some of these events that I really wanted to be a part of, and eventually I did, you know, come out, but we had picnics, just Lambda picnics just for us, and that was fun. Webster Park, I remember a few of those. The Pride Parades were my favorite. And cabin parties. We had cabin parties.
Yeah, what was a cabin party?
It was just at the cabin, but it was a picnic type of thing. We played games there, and I think I still have the glass cowboys on the front of it or something. Maybe somebody else can tell you about that. A mug.
From one of the cabin parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just looking at my notes.
So it was a combination of social events, just being together, having fun, and then also, like, advocacy.
Yeah, for sure. Especially felt that at Out and Equal, because I was comfortable there, and I could be out. And I brought my wife to one of them in Orlando, and she was amazed. Like, she could, you know, go to get educated. I mean, she's Canadian, so she wasn't out. She didn't even know she was gay till she met me. That's my brother says, you turned her gay. No. You can't. She was married. Her husband passed away. She has a son. I have two grandchildren that live in Canada. I haven't seen in a while. And she didn't know that she was gay, but she thought back. She goes, oh, yeah. She played basketball. She was a basketball star. She was very athletic. And she goes, oh, okay, now stuff is starting to make sense. But, yeah, this is strange how we met, but...
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be soulmates, because I was never with anybody for more than 3 years was my longest. Yeah. And, you know, I just felt like I always had to have somebody. But when I wasn't looking, that's what I tell my brother. When you're not looking, it'll happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully for him. But, yeah, I could be myself, especially at Out and Equal. And my love of photography was just good marriage.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
I had fun doing it. Just photographing the speakers and talking to everybody. You know, seeing their struggles. Like the ride I told you about with Denise.
Yeah.
She was struggling back then to be transgender in Kodak. I do remember a long time ago, my mom remembered, because my mom also retired from Kodak. So my mom and my sister, my brother, who now lives in Florida, he got transferred down there, but now he's not even Kodak anymore. So they were... Three of my six siblings that worked at Kodak and retired from Kodak or got laid off. And I called forcefully retired. It was turned out to be the best thing. A little bit earlier than I wanted to go. I, you know, wanted to save some more money and stuff. But that's, you know, the way it is. I knew I was a good employee. And for that, and my mom, who always helps me with all my major decisions, buying a house, and she goes, honey, I can't help you with this. You have to decide it on your own, and neither did my wife. So we were doing the sea glass business while I was still at Kodak. And I don't even know how I did it, because she lived in Nova Scotia, and I had all this stuff going on. But then once I retired, or left Kodak, I should say, I had all this studio equipment. I was going to open a studio and do the weddings, and I just, sea glass was so much more fun.
Yeah.
So that's what I ended up doing.
So you started to say, Michelle, that for Denise, that in 2004, you learned about what it was like for them to transition while being at Kodak.
Yeah.
Can you share some of, you know, what you remember about that?
The thing that stuck out with me is like, so are you gay? No. I'm not gay. I like men. I go, but you are a man right now, and that was very confusing to me.
Yeah.
He said there's all different types or levels of being transgender. There's people who convert, and then there's lesbians. And
right. So gender identity being separate from sexual identity.
Yes. Just like one of our members in Lambeau. I don't know if he's out about it, so I won't say. Was a transsexual, and I thought that meant gay. Right. No, he trans crossdresser, whatever. Loves to dress up in women's clothes, but as a man, still likes women.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I got my own education.
Yeah.
I just thought you're either gay or you're straight, and then I was ambiguous about bisexual. I said no. You can't. I mean, I actually went out with somebody who left me for a man, and they're still married. And thought until I met Gladys that she was the love of my life. But I was kind of like, why? I don't get it. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I do. My niece is bisexual. So especially at that time, was very educational.
It seemed like people sharing their own stories was an important part of Lambda and out and Equal as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially talking to other people and hearing their struggles at Out and Equal.
Yeah.
And how, like, oh, you guys are so great and you know, you're so brave and I'm going to go back and start this program. And, you know, it was very, very enlightening. And I'd love to help people. And if just one thing that we said in a workshop helps somebody to go back, take it back to their company and or in their personal life, just to be brave to come out.
And to get that recognition must have felt good.
Yeah, for sure. They just loved Kodak. I mean, we were the leaders in that at the time.
Yeah.
So, and I do credit Cindy Martin for championing that. She was the vice president, and she worked hard to get the benefits for. Well, at the time, for me, it didn't matter because I wasn't married.
Right.
But it's good stuff.
So looking back, are there things about Lambda that you would like people to know about today?
Well, it was just it's very sad that there's no more Lambda, but I think it helped me personally be comfortable with myself. Just their presence, just to have a group like that.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it to any company or anybody who's struggling to join a group like that.
So it helped because you weren't isolated anymore?
Right. I could be myself, like at our picnics, at the pride parades, out in Equal, in our own little groups. But when I went back to my cubicle, I still wasn't comfortable.
Yeah. So it helped you. Do you think it helped other people too?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there must be other people that were struggling, like me.
Yeah.
I can't name them, but
I think, even maybe people that were not themselves LGBTQ, like, do you think it had a positive impact on the corporate culture for them as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I had talked to people in the studio after I came out and, you know, talked to them about, they said, we knew. We already knew.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to. And I was so afraid to tell any of them. But, you know, talking, like I told you certain examples of not being able to walk down the street, and they just don't think of that. Straight people don't right. know about that. And a lot of our allies who came to Out and Equal, they were educated as well, and they brought it back. Most of them were supervisors or yeah. even vice presidents.
Yeah, so it helped them understand.
Right, yeah. right.
And probably it created like a better work, like better workplace norms too,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes when people are saying stereotypes or saying, you know, put downs of
right.
of one marginalized group, they may do that about other groups too, like whether mm-hmm. it's racial others or
right.
women in general, right? Like I've heard some people have told me stories about Kodak having a pretty like sexist culture, like when you started in the 70s, that there just weren't a lot of women and, you know, sometimes individual supervisors were very supportive, but that, you know, in meetings, they might show, like, pinups or something like that. Or
yeah.
There was just...
I do remember an incident with the photographer I was studying under, and I can't remember the comment, but he said something, and I said, I really take offense at that. And I think that was the first time I spoke up. Obviously, it was after I came up, and he said he didn't mean anything by it, but people, you know, they innocently say stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, like, a perfect example, I play poker, and I was at the Seneca Casino when they had a poker room, and the dealer, a lot of them were Native, and the dealer did something, and, oh, I know what it was. He gave me an ace, but it flipped up, so he had to take it back, and I go, Indian giver. I mean, innocently saying that, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That, you know, you just don't think. So other people, I try to educate.
And, yeah.
And if I see an injustice, I will speak out in public to whoever it is, abusing their kids or yelling, screaming at their kids or whatever.
Yeah. So Lambda was part of that process of finding
oh, yeah.
your voice.
Yes, exactly. Because I was very closeted and wouldn't say much of anything
yeah.
until I did come out. It was
yeah.
so freeing.
Yeah.
All those years.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Let me see if there were some other questions. Oh, is there anything you wish Lambda did differently when you think back about it?
No, I think they were awesome. They thought of everything. The educational events, Oh, we also shot the, I set up a studio at the Gay Picnic for Lambda.
Yeah.
That was cool.
A portrait studio.
Well, I wouldn't call it studio, but we had a backdrop.
Yeah.
It was under in the pavilion.
Yeah, like a photo booth.
And we gave those away, and Kodak was a big sponsor in that.
Yeah.
Set up the printers. I was in charge of that, too. And, of course, my friends came through, and I had to get one. I wish I had it out. It's the best picture of me and my friends. So stuff like that I did all over the place. It was just really wonderful. I used to shoot the business cards and portraits downtown, anniversary portraits, and everybody's business card, like one or two days a week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I had to wear a dress. I didn't like that.
Why did you have to wear a dress?
Well, that's a good question. I don't even remember wearing slacks because my boss was kind of sexist. Not kind of. I don't think he liked women. He, ultimately, I didn't want to say anything bad about what happened, but I had to leave there, and I loved that job.
Yeah. That was the studio job?
The studio job.
Yeah.
And then I went to themed. They were actually looking at the time for a photographer to design the... I designed the lighting for the green screen technology.
Yeah.
And all the places you go, Niagara Falls, over a barrel, all those. I designed the lighting for that. We went to Hollywood. I did so much. I loved that job. It turned out to be okay, but I could not work for that man anymore.
Wow.
And until a woman came in as the supervisor.
Yeah.
Because I complained all the time about him. I went to HR. Nothing ever happened.
Huh.
And he was in tight with everybody. And he literally said, they can't fire me, I'm black. I'm like, whoa, David. Anyway, whatever happened, I just could not work for him anymore. And she pulled me out within 3 days. I said, nothing's going to happen. Mary Jane Hellyer. I said, nothing's going to happen. I've been here a million times. She said, well, that's before I came.
Wow.
And she had me out of there and in themed in 3 days. And I worked out at Elm Grove. I loved it. And learned about... Oh, that's how I got into themed entertainment. So I was devastated. I'm like, this is what I work for. I went to school for. And I kind of got pushed out.
Yeah.
I don't know whatever happened to him. I've seen him at the racetrack once or twice. Oh, hi, David. I did a survey. He put a survey out. And I told him, I gave him good grades for business. I said, he's a good business person. I said, but, you know, people skills, not very good. And so we're going over the survey. I found out it was on his desk. I thought they would, you know, give it to the supervisor or the director. And he read them all, and he said in the meeting, I suggest if you're going to fill one of these out to disguise your handwriting. And he's looking right at me. And I was like, no. Quaking. But after, I didn't let him see me sweat. I went up to him. I said, David, I'd be happy to discuss anything you want on my survey. And then he said, no. He refused, so that was probably the last straw. So she came along, and I guess fate got me out of there, and I loved my job at themed.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
That's a pretty unique opportunity.
I did it for 5 years, and then I remember 2001, right after 9/11, I was supposed to start, like, that week. And, you know, they put, I don't know how it went, but... I did start in the kiosks after that, because I got laid off from themed. So every step of the way, I've had good jobs, I had bad jobs. When I finished in litigation for the year and a half, I was in New York, and then I went to Building 69. I had to work trick work in the dark. I hated it. I hated C trick, which was midnight to 8. And it was, so I got on the B shift. I used to pay people to take my C. And it would rotate, CBA, CBA. And finally I got on straight B shift, which is very conducive to my alcoholism because the bar was across the street. I even went on breaks. It was bad. And we'd kept a gallon of, I shouldn't tell these secrets. You can cut this out. A gallon of screwdrivers in the refrigerator in the dark because the supervisors would never come in the dark. And that's where we kept our control strips for the machines. So we were drinking back then in the dark. It was terrible.
And that's when you were doing quality control for the film?
No, I wasn't doing quality. I was just processing. We had big, all-day suckers, we call them, big rolls of paper that were exposed, and we would run them through the machine, and you had to go back there and make sure that it didn't break in the machine. And if it did, that was a big hassle to pull all the racks out and everything. So we used to play tricks on each other. This one girl, she didn't like the dark either. I was on the other side of the roll, and you would walk in, and you wouldn't have your eyes yet, so you'd hang onto the railing and just go and make sure that roll was moving. I put my hand on the roll, she put her hand on my hand and screamed. So we had to make the most of it because it was, I hated it. It was all production. We had, then I had piece work where I had to inspect certain amount of orders per hour, or they dock your pay, and you get incentive if you go over that. But that time wasn't good. I didn't care for any of that. But then as I got more interested in photography and research and development, even before I went to RIT and got in the studio, I really enjoyed the problem solving and reporting. And when I did software testing, a lot of my supervisors said I was the best bug sniffer they ever saw.
Wow.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too. And I find bugs on people's websites all the time. I even write to them saying, like, did you do this? This is what happens. Yeah, that was a very cool job. So I liked all of my jobs at Kodak. You guys want some water or something? Your coffee's like cold. You want me to heat?
Oh, that's okay.
Want me to heat that up?
No, it's good. Okay. It's good. This has been wonderful, Michelle. Jackson, was there anything that you wanted to talk about that we haven't had a chance to cover yet?
I think maybe besides it just being an end to join Lambda, why did you feel passionate about documenting Lambda photography?
Well, because I was a photographer, and you know that's in your blood. Like, I document everything. When they put my roof on, I was out there taking pictures. I do it everywhere. And I think of my dad, who did the same thing. I got a whole room of pictures upstairs that I have to go through again. If I can find the discs to all of these. I didn't show you what I want to put on. I'm sorry, Jackson. I got one off site here. I want to give you what I did here. These are Amy's Pride pictures. Let me see. Okay, these are from Amy. These are the Rochester. We had, I don't know if you've ever seen this. This is cool. We built a...
Yeah, oh, Kodak awesome. Tower.
Isn't that cool? That was one of the Prides in Rochester. These girls were in this bike group. I forgot her name. There's Marge, there's Amy, don't know that person, or these guys, I don't know them. But anyway, those are her pictures. I don't know how I ended up with them, but then there's this. I don't know if you want to use these logos in your presentations. These are all different Pride logos at Kodak.
Yeah.
You can use these.
Great.
Those might be good for... with Nathaniel and Cassidy.
Okay.
Can you see, Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you're welcome. We cleared that without an equal to. Here's just samples, but you know what? It's mostly my aesthetics. I didn't get... Okay, here's one you can use because it's their backs. That was kind of neat. It's Gay Games in Chicago.
That's awesome.
Okay, this was Chicago. Just didn't... that was Kate Clinton. She's a gay comedian, very political. And she was funny as hell. But, like, I don't know where the ones are of all the rest of the speakers. And I have, who spoke when? You can copy this.
Okay, great.
You can copy that. I got it off Out Miko's website.
Yeah.
Or Wikipedia, I think. Okay, look, here's the type of pictures I have. I'm going to make a copy of that.
You can
take it with you. This is us at the hotel. But, you know, I didn't include, like, look at these. These are Chicago. There's the Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, you ever been to Chicago?
Yeah.
Look, the Bean. You got to have the Bean.
Fun.
You have to have the Bean.
I haven't gotten there yet, but.
And then they had this really cool pool where you could get your picture up there. And then this guy's, there's a fountain coming out of his mouth. So that's all I got for that type. Okay, I told you, every place we went to a ball game. Wrigley Field. You got to go to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, that was my favorite in Chicago.
And then just one shot. And then, what's that river? They dye the river green at St. Patrick's Day. Okay, so that's all I have. I don't have the rest. Like, in my slideshow, you saw all those speakers.
Yeah.
They got to be here somewhere. And you have until 2026 if I find them.
Yep.
But I'm going to give you these in the meantime. Like, here's one of the speakers, but I don't know if you can use these. I don't know those people. They're not us. That's Tammy Baldwin. She's a congresswoman. That's us setting up our Kodak booth. There's Felix.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember his name, but he was in charge of all the technology and the printers and that. And there's Teresa and Felix. And there's Coors Field, our ball game, the Rockies. And there's Bob Berman and our little group. He came on a couple of them, and he was very engaged and interested. There's the Aspens in Colorado. I got altitude sickness going up to Pikes Peak. Oh, my gosh, because me and Teresa were photographers, and we wanted to photograph the Aspens. I had to get oxygen at the top.
Oh, wow.
It was 14,000 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are, that's all I got of that. And, like, you're probably not even going to use these because there's no speakers. Oh, I love this picture. There's Tom.
Tom Fox.
Tom Fox.
Yeah.
I can say he's the cross-dresser. And I have...
He did tell us about that in an interview.
That's why I put pictures of him in here with and without his dress. So there he is with.
Yeah.
And then in case he doesn't want that, I don't think he's in that one, but I have other pictures of him. Truth be told, he is a big crush on Lori. He told me. Well, it's so obvious. You don't have to. Anyway, that's up to him. I would like you to ask him.
Sure. Yeah, we won't use it without his permission.
Yeah. And he's not at Kodak anymore. So, okay, so like those. Here's, I love this guy, John Quinones. He's on What Would You Do? He's on Dateline. He's on everything.
Yeah.
He was one of the speakers. And I don't think he's gay, but he's Hispanic, and he can relate to...
Yeah.
Okay, that's the Audi Awards. Okay, there's just a few... this guy died. I'm so sad. Leslie... I forgot his last name. That's my wife. He's a little short guy. And Gladys is short, so he's shorter. He was on Will and Grace... He did a lot of... He was Leslie somebody on Will and Grace. He did a lot of character acting. And, like, 2 years ago, he must have had a seizure and crashed into a brick wall or something, and he died. Yeah, very sad. Okay, this is us setting up the studio. You saw that one.
Yeah.
That's Nancy and Teresa. We're testing the lighting here.
Uh-huh.
Notice the rainbow backdrop. As rainbow as I could get. There's Linda. That guy was a technical guy. He wasn't gay, and he's not in our Lambda group, I guess. I think they provided somebody from Themed or something to help with all that. Because I couldn't do everything. There's Linda and Nancy. I call her Linda when she's wearing her dress. Okay, here's a couple of the panels. Like, is that Lisa? Looks like Lisa. No, that's not Lisa, I don't think. Oops. There's Leslie speaking. Like, here's the ones I did find pictures for, but not that many. I don't even have any for Washington or Austin. Austin was awesome. I'm glad it came on that one. If you go to Austin, you have to watch the bats. The bats every day at 5 o'clock, 5:30. It's kind of it's like Key West sunset. The bats fly out of this bridge. It's amazing. Thousands of bats. Don't worry, they won't hurt your head. And they go somewhere, but it's always at sunset. There's a crowd of people watching it. It's the most weirdest thing. but I loved it. All right, so that's just kind of what I have. Like, here's a speaker. There's Tom. And, I mean, this is a workshop with Tom and Lori.
What was Lori's last name?
Oh, my God. Here, wait, let me see if I can see it. Mancuso. Ah, there it is. I'm a detective. It's right on her name tag. That was easy. Mancuso, Lori Mancuso. You didn't interview her?
No,
I haven't met she's Lori. An ally.
Okay.
Yeah, and she was wonderful. And then all I have for Tempe is stuff I used in my slideshow. And then these are the formals. I didn't have a studio set up. Cactus. These are all Lambda members. I did not. There's Denise. I was telling you about her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a transgender. I did not include anybody I didn't know.
Right.
Because we don't have model releases. And I don't know how you handle that, but by me giving you these pictures, I don't know if you need, that's it. So I want to put that on your thumb drive. And now I have all the originals. I sorted and cropped and fixed all of those pictures I just showed you.
Yeah.
As subsets. Oh, here's me and Emmy. You can use this one if you want. I didn't. Oh, that's in one of them. It must be Orlando. That's me and Emmy.
Oh, nice.
But it's a small res. I'm going to throw it in there. I'm going to throw all these in here, but...
Yeah, that'd be great. Matt,
I forgot his name. He's on here. Oh, what's his name? Oh, Carson Kressley from Queer Eye and the Straight Guy. I wish I had confined those pictures. That's not George Takei. Oh, B.D. Wong. I don't even know who he was, but... I should throw these in. I didn't put them in. You could tell by the year of what year it was. Here's one of me and Kate Clinton. I wanted to give you a bunch of pictures of me, but you can take your pick.
Yeah, no, this is great.
I'll just throw them in your folder. I don't know if you want all of them. There's a lot of stuff in here that I didn't pull. You want the outtakes?
Yeah.
You want them both? Okay. So this is a subset I'm going to put. Are you still recording, Jackson?
I think the audio might still be.
Oh, okay. What? Why can't I do it? Folder's open in PowerPoint. Oh, I see. Closing PowerPoint. That's already in there. You have that. How is that open? PowerPoint. When I did that, remember I said baptism by fire down in
Florida? Yeah.
I did not even know how to copy and paste a file. I'm not kidding. Oh, no. That's not what I wanted. What's happening? Undo. I'm sorry. See, I still don't know how to copy and paste. It's blocking this folder. Something's. Oh, I know. Yes, you're right. There it is. Okay. Stop it. Renaming? Why are you renaming? All right, this is embarrassing.
No worries.
Let me see if it pasted already. Well, there they are. I don't need them on my desktop. I don't know what happened. All right, I'll take care of that later. But you have a thumb drive, right?
Yep,
right. So you want, okay, when you see the folder Lambda, that's everything.
Super.
And then the subset is where?
Is it okay to plug it in?
Oh, here? Sure. Yes.
Okay. No, it won't fit with the...
Uh-oh.
That's okay. I have
it. What do you mean it won't fit?
Oh, it's just hitting the mouse one.
Oh, take it out.
But, well, no, that's okay.
I don't like using this the pad here.
I have more than one, so let's see if another one will fit.
Would you mind if I just the bathroom quickly?
Oh, no, go ahead, honey. I told you where it was.
Thank you.
Okay. I keep saying there's a problem with this drive.
Yeah, just ignore it.
I do. I had never seen that. It just recently popped up. And I regretfully have to change. I'm still on Windows 11.
Yeah.
And I don't want to change.
I don't blame you. They make us update our stuff for work. And yeah.
All right. I'm just going to paste these right at the bottom. Yeah, feel free. But remember, I did the ones I did in the subset. I mostly picked people that I knew.
Uh huh.
And I did a lot of cropping and editing.
Sure.
So go to those if you're going to use.
Yes.
Go in that folder.
Okay.
Let me go make a copy here. Just a real copy.
Okay.
Editing a lot of that stuff. It was pretty long.
It was great.
Thank you.